You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back. You're on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Dennehy & Boulay. If you're looking for experienced professionals in government affairs, Dennehy & Boulay are your guys. Check them out at DennehyBoulay.com. Excited to welcome to the program right now, Brandon Williams. He is the president and CEO of the New Hampshire Healthcare Association, proud sponsors of our On Background program here on KXL with Paul Steinhauser and myself, which talks with the presidential candidates. We have a packed edition of that show coming up on Thursday night at 6 p.m. here on KXL. You can check out past episodes at nhtalkradio.com. Brandon's going to join us here on the program to discuss Medicaid and Medicare and what the Trump administration is doing, in his view, to make things harder for older Americans. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate joining us for the show. Tell us, you have an op-ed here in the Concord Monitor today, and we have seen, again, continuing rising costs in regards to prescription drugs, and we have seen various aspects of Medicare and Medicaid which have come under attack during this administration. What do you see as being the basis of this, and what can be done in order to turn the tide on it?
Well, I don't think that there's any doubt that rising drug costs are just absolutely killing consumers, and I can personally attest to that because I have a chronic condition and take prescription drugs. But the Trump administration has hit on a rather odd solution. Trump's health secretary is a former Eli Lilly executive, and he's decided that the solution to high drug prices is squeezing those who actually reduce the drug prices, which are the pharmacy benefit managers that actually sort of act as intermediaries between the federal government and the drug companies and in the private market between insurance companies and the drug companies. And he's decided that the solution is to deny these entities rebates that they use as leverage against the drug companies.
It's been remarkable. And you look at just this specific issue and the high cost of prescription drugs. And to me, if you follow this closely, you follow the votes which have taken place to allow for the importation of drugs from Canada. You look at what can be done in regards to the Health and Human Services Secretary negotiating for lower drug costs. And, you know, folks out there are angry and frustrated about a government that works for big corporations and doesn't work for them. And to me, the issue of high prescription drug costs is arguably the greatest example of that, where there's a problem, it's a solvable problem, it's there, and due to the clenched fist of the drug lobby, there is little will to change anything in regards to this really substantive issue for seniors and for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, and it's really an existential issue for a lot of folks. You know, I mean, obviously we care for people in nursing homes and assisted living facilities who are debilitated, and nursing homes in many cases bear a measure of the drug costs themselves, which is yet another burden. But you look at this Trump administration rule, and they're proposing to basically add $196 million in taxpayer costs for this new regulation. They acknowledge that premiums for Medicare Part D beneficiaries would go up as much as 22%. I think it might be as much as 25%, frankly, as a consequence of cutting out these pharmacy benefit managers. You know, the reality is that, people in healthcare, in order to do their work, need incentives. And so these rebates have been an incentive for these pharmacy benefit managers. And there was a hearing that Senator Grassley held in the Senate Finance Committee, and he asked for commitments from the drug companies that they would actually lower their prices if this rule were implemented, and they would not make that commitment. So you know, you imagine a drug that costs $100 and there's a rebate of $30 to the pharmacy benefit manager, you would expect then that that drug is going to cost the consumer $70, and actually it'll probably still cost $100.
That is Brendan Williams joining us here on the Hampshire Now program. He is the president of the Hampshire Healthcare Association. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the program presented by Dennehy and Boulay. So what can consumers do? I mean, it seems that there is a ample push. There are organizations that are making their voices heard in regards to this. Individuals are making their voices heard in regards to this, but there is not seemingly the will in Congress or the White House to do anything about it.
You know, it may be that, you know, this year, given that we have sort of this, you know, amazing number of presidential candidates, that there could be, you know, some coalescing around the idea that there actually does need to be action on this issue. I think before it was probably easy to say that both sides were bought and paid for by the drug lobby. I think in order to break from the pack this year, some of the presidential candidates are going to want to be looking to distinguish themselves by taking on, you know, big pharma.
And not taking, a number of candidates have come forward, so they're not taking money from big pharma or from corporations or corporate PACs and things of that nature in order to try to differentiate themselves.
Yeah, you know, one of my regrets, because I've written a lot about the Affordable Care Act, is that there was an amendment offered to it by Senator Sanders and Senator McCain that would allow for reimportation. And Senator McCain had actually championed that during his presidential campaign, as did future President Obama. But as part of the sort of, you know, compromise that led to the Affordable Care Act's passage, that was killed. And, you know, I mean, it is just absolutely insane, Chris, when you look at it, the fact that, you know, our drugs made in America cost less than other countries. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, I think if you want to lower drug costs, you know, then squeeze the drug companies, for Pete's sake. But, you know, the idea that you're just going to cast the finger of blame, you know, at other actors, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
You look at what countries and individuals in Europe are paying for the drugs that are manufactured, patented here in this country, and it is remarkably less. And it's been said that there's a feeling that we are, in essence, subsidizing Europe's prescription drugs because of the high costs that we have in this country versus what they have been able to negotiate for those costs. And, you know, it's been interesting, the healthcare debate that has ensued. And I think that, you know, we are seeing more of an interest in a universal health care or a Medicare for all type of solution based upon, you know, the high cost of prescription drugs, based upon the fact that Republicans had an opportunity to push forth a market-based solution to replace the Affordable Care Act and swung and missed. And not just in terms of repealing and replacing, but in terms, in my view, of putting forth a plan that was truly a market-based approach, which would bring down costs, create more access, and an environment that could be a win-win environment for the industry and for our country. And do you see us moving more towards a Medicare for all solution because of the fact that, you know, there is an acknowledgement that with the high cost that exists currently, that this is not working?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, I think that, you know, at a minimum, even if you, you know, deride a Medicare for all as a socialism, or you look at the examples of other countries and you say, oh, geez, that's socialism, you know, look at the fact that they're paying less for American drugs. I mean, at a minimum, doesn't it make sense that, you know, we would try to do something about that issue? You know, and so I think that, you know, that's going to be big, you know, during this election year, because I think it really is it's a pressure point, you know, for folks. It's sort of, you know, all the rest of it is frustrating too. But I think, you know, when you show up to that counter in your pharmacy and you shell out money out of pocket, you know, to pay for your drugs, you know, that I can attest from personal experience, that's frustrating.
No, there's two key pocketbook issues in my view that lend to electoral practices amongst voters. One is the cost of gas, and the other is the cost of prescription drugs. And you feel like there's something that could be done about that. Your student loans or your mortgage or your taxes, the costs are much, much higher. But for whatever reason, the couple cents per gallon on gasoline or the cost of your prescription drugs are, you know, what drives you insane and upset about the current political environment and system. It was interesting, you know, talking with Jay Inslee, who is making the centerpiece of his campaign climate change. An individual asked him at an event in Bedford, whether he'd raise the gas tax 20 cents a gallon. And I'm standing there and I asked him this after. I'm like, that's like a death knell for a politician to say that he's gonna, like, to raise the gas. Because the gas, that's just something that you just don't do because of how folks feel that. And again, it's the other costs are much higher, but gas and prescription drug costs. And Republicans had, again, an opportunity to do something on this issue. And that was their swing of the pendulum after the Affordable Care Act. And now the pendulum is swinging back. The costs, the problems of the healthcare system remain prevalent and perhaps even amplified. And now, yeah, Medicare may be viewed by individuals as being socialized medicine. It may not be something that they like. But as we've seen in the past, when there's only two options, individuals will look at the situation and say, well, this is not working. We need to try something else. And that something else may be a Medicare for All solution.
Yeah, you know, I think you're so right about, you know, the gas tax and prescription drugs, because, you know, my employer paid health insurance. You know, my cost of that gets deducted from my paycheck. And, I pay my bills through electronic means, you know, just gets deducted out of my checking account. But you bust out your wallet when you're at the gas pump or when you're at the pharmacy counter, and man, does that make you mad. And, you know, we see an administration here that's proposing these huge cuts to Medicare, objectively huge cuts to Medicare, and it's proposing to further enrich these drug companies through this, I mean, we need some truth in advertising here, for Pete's sake. And, you know, this is why people become so cynical about politics. Is, you know, these little games that get played. And, here you got Secretary Azar. He's obviously trying to do some favors for his former employer, Eli Lilly. And I'm sure he'll return to their, you know, employment, you know, because this is what happens. Both parties, you know, swinging door, you know. Yep. So I just, you know, it just is infuriating. And for, you know, the people that we serve, they feel beaten down, you know, just one thing after another, you know, one existential crisis after another. They worry about, you know, Medicaid funding in Concord. They see a 17 cent a day increase January 1st for their care. They worry about Medicare, you know. I mean, it's just, they worry about their drug prices. I mean, there's just so much going on. And, geez, you know, they just need a little bit of hope here.
Yeah, I think, as you referenced with Alex Azar, who raised prices on insulin while an Eli Lilly executive, the promise of the Trump administration was that he was going to bring hope to the individuals who across this country had seen their jobs leave and had seen costs going up around them, and he was going to drain the swamp. He was going to, secure Medicare. He said it is one of his first events here in New Hampshire that we were not going to need Social Security because he was going to make us all so rich. Of course, he wasn't going to cut Social Security, but we weren't even going to need it. And, you know, there were a lot of promises that have been made, not just by this administration, but past administrations. But that revolving door of special interest remains the same. And whether you're on the right or the left of the political debate, folks are extremely frustrated and angry and outraged about that. And, I think that it is true that you're going to need individuals from inside the industry if you're going to truly reform the industry, but you have to have a person at the head of the departments who is truly reform-minded. You can't have an individual who is, still has one foot in the door of the drug company as your Health and Human Services Administrator. You need individuals in Health and Human Services, if you're going to break down the industry, who understand it in a way that is truly important and significant for your endeavor. But having executives like Steve Mnuchin or Alex Azar running these various departments has done anything than drain the swamp like the president promised.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's frustrating, and, you know, and you're right. I mean, I've been critical. I was critical during the Obama administration of the fact that Marilyn Tavener, who ran CMS, really helped, effectuate the Affordable Care Act, went straight to work for America's health insurance plans, you know, running that organization. I mean, that was a conflict of interest. So, yeah, the revolving door has been there, through various administrations. But you're right, this administration promised to be something different. And instead of draining the swamp, you know, it's pulling alligators out of it and putting them in charge of agencies.
Good line right there. Good way to end. Brandon Williams joining us here on the program. Brandon, as always, appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, Brandon, buddy. Take care.
You as well. Brandon Williams here on Hampshire Now, President and CEO of the New Hampshire Healthcare Association. This hour of the Hampshire Now program is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Dennehy and Boulay.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.